What's up, y'all, and welcome to In the Wild. I'm Rayshawn, and today we are celebrating a huge milestone, and I'm not going to share what that is because we have a very special guest to get us into that. So give a warm, dry welcome to our university president, Dr. Brooks Keel. How's it going?
It's going good. Forgive my casual attire, but I don't recommend tearing your rotator cuff, that's for sure. But if you do, you can take a lot of great pride in all. We got one of the top five shoulder surgeons in the country right here, so I took advantage of that, so forgive me. But it's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here, especially coming off of that. But today is a very special day because we are talking about hitting a milestone for the university of our enrollment number of hitting over 10,000 students. So as president, congratulations. And what do you think has helped get us here to that point?
Oh, that's a great question. You tell me congratulations. I appreciate that. But it's really the work of a countless number of faculty and staff and that have helped in terms of spreading the word about what Augusta University is and recruiting those students. So it's a full-time, you know, full-court press in terms of doing that. Our official number is 10,456. To 10,546, so well above 10,000. But no, it's really a great opportunity for us, and it is a milestone. There's something magic about 10,000 students. It's like a glass ceiling, and we've finally broken that.
And with other universities just across the nation struggling to maintain or increase their enrollment, we've been steady being able to grow for several years now. What do you think has been so special about the university during this time?
No, that's a great point, and you're right. We've had a roughly 3% year-over-year increase in enrollment going back to 2015 when I first started here. And this past semester was around about 7% increase this fall compared to last fall. Overall, if you go back to 2015 up until today, we've had a 25% increase in enrollment altogether, and it's absolutely phenomenal. And as you say, that's all universities can't claim that. We're one of the few in the system that have really had a continuous increase in enrollment. And I think it says a lot about this university. It says a lot about the reputation of the university. When so many students see this as the destination campus, which is really what we had been striving to do. A couple of key points, it's not just the number, but it's the quality of the students is increasing. And it's where the students come from. You know, we will always be Augusta's university, and providing that training opportunity for the sons and daughters of the CSRA is very, very important to us. But right now, greater than 50% of our freshman class comes from outside of the CSRA, many of them from Atlanta. Not a big surprise to you there, but I think it really shows that the reputation of the university extends well beyond the confines of the Central Savannah River area and truly does represent a destination campus for students across the entire state.
What has that been like for you as president to see that consistent enrollment ever since you stepped foot on campus again?
Well, it's nothing makes me more proud of that fact. And again, it's because it's not a single person or a single office or a single thing that we do. It really is the entire university getting us to a point where we have that reputation, where we have that magnet, if you will, that's going to be drawing those students in. So it just says so much about the entire university, what we offer, the reputation we have, the type of students we bring in, and that's something that's been very, very proud to be part of.
And shifting to looking ahead a little bit, so part of our university's strategic plan is to have 16,000 students by 2030. So obviously we're making great strides in doing that. But can you outline any initiatives that will kind of help us get to that point?
No, it's hugely important. You know, I made a comment at a town hall I was having one time. Gosh, it's probably been 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago. And I said, we have the capacity on this campus to get to 16,000 students. Well, we ought to see if we can do that by the year 2030. And it just took off like wildfire. That was sort of a rallying cry, I think, for the whole campus. It brings with it a lot of challenges. There's no doubt about that. It's not to try to hit a number, as important as that target is. It really is an opportunity to keep us focused on bringing those students in here. So, you know, if we don't reach 16,000 students by that year, I won't be too upset about that, because we're continuing to increase and we're making momentum and we continue to move ahead. You know, the downside to having that number of students is that you have to have in place all the things that our students want and need. You have to have dormitories, you have to have dining facilities, you have to have the faculty to teach the students, because as we increase the number of students, one thing we want to keep a very careful eye on is that student to faculty ratio. We want to have the smaller classes than you might see at a very large university, and that means we have to keep pace with the students coming in, we have to keep pace with faculty that we're bringing in too. So we're really focused on doing that now.
Yeah, I do feel like as we continue to grow, we're still focusing on quality and not just quantity.
Exactly.
But there have been some advancements, I feel like, to help get us there. So with AU Online, like officially launching this semester, that has been great as well with their start, School of Public Health. And something really cool for me is esports. We had our new arena, so do you want to talk a little bit about that celebration and how that launch came together?
Yeah, you know, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, would you have video games as part of an athletic conference, and I said, you're crazy. But it's a unique aspect, I think, of the Peach Belt Conference that our Division II programs are in, athletic programs are in. And they saw it as an opportunity to engage a number of students that love to play video games, and they do it competitively. The Peach Belt has a conference championship. They give a trophy to the winner of that championship, just like they do in basketball and volleyball and everything else. So it's a great opportunity for a number of our students to find something here other than just what they see in the classroom. I mean, as you know, engagement is a huge part of a successful university. It's not just bringing freshmen in the front door, but it's keeping them here for 4 years before you send them out with a diploma in their hand. And things like esports provide a great opportunity for a certain cadre of our students that really love that sort of thing. So it gives them a championship thing to work towards. It provides them a chance to come together as a group, make new friends. And so that, and using the Cyber Center, which is all about ones and zeros, it's all digital, I think really brings that together really well. So I'm excited about what that's going to do for us.
Yeah, I think the arena looks really cool. I wasn't able to make it to the event, but I do want to go back over to the Cyber Center to check it out in person real soon. Another cool thing that I thought about happening this semester was, well, last time you were here, you announced that we would have a partnership with WellStar. Could you give us a little bit of an update of how that partnership is going so far?
Yeah, we're really, really excited about this. WellStar is an outstanding clinical component in the state. They do health care probably better than anybody. Bringing them in as a partner, it gave us an opportunity to provide financial security for the health system, for the hospital, which, of course, is the classroom for our medical school. But it also allowed us to partner with them in providing not just a continuation of healthcare, but an expansion of healthcare for the citizens of this part of the state and beyond. WellStar has some 8 or 10 hospitals now throughout the entire state, and partnering with them will give us a chance to extend the great clinical care that we provide here, the name of the Medical College of Georgia, and extend that throughout the state. WellStar is very, very interested in providing healthcare for all the citizens of Georgia, and together I think we can begin to accomplish that. One thing that's been really exciting to me is that now that we've got the deal done, the contract signed and all that, we're beginning to work with WellStar to see how else we can collaborate that will extend beyond just the training of medical students, which of course is our nursing program, our allied health programs that we have, and even dentistry. But there are other programs that the university provides that I think we can partner with WellStar. Our business school, for example, provides a great opportunity working with WellStar in degrees such as healthcare management. And then taking that, so now you can look at internship opportunities for those students in hospitals and the healthcare centers that WellStar has throughout the whole state. So we're really, really excited about not only the financial security, as important as that is, but the real opportunity to expand the healthcare we provide and the training and research that we provide as well. And that's what WellStar is so special, is that they have that culture of education and research in addition to outstanding clinical care.
I feel like there's always a lot going on when you're the president of the university. Is there anything that stood out to you this semester that was like a big highlight for you?
Well, obviously, you know, I keep focusing on enrollment, but as important as that is, but you know, Augusta University Online is now fully functional and going full steam ahead. We got 3 degrees now, and Dean Mark Austin's done a great job of expanding that out, and we're looking to take advantage of relationships like with WellStar, like with Fort Eisenhower, to extend that fully. We just stood up formally a new School of Public Health. Really excited about what that represents. Dean Ward is coming in and setting that school up. Provides tremendous opportunity for us from a degree point of view, but also from a research point of view. So those are two things clearly have been a highlight for us. And then we'll just have to see what other things come along.
If you could go back and tell yourself in 2015 when you first arrived the campus one thing about the time that you have spent here so far, what do you think you would say?
Wow, you know, it's there's so many things that have happened in the past 8 years, and if one thing that keeps coming up over and over again has to do with the doggone name change. I hate to bring that up, but when we changed the name to Augusta University, and that happened within the first 2 months I was here. And then enabled us to do a complete rebranding of the university. That has done so much for us. I'm still hearing of new nuances of how that has changed us. It's not only giving us the look of a university, but it's giving us a feel of a university. It's generated a tremendous amount of pride in the community about this university. It's the reason that we've had such a tremendous increase in enrollment is that sort of pride, that university feel, the reputation is extending well beyond here. And I think it took that name change to really sort of spearhead that. And everything else that we've seen, all the success that we've seen, I think has come and you can trace it back to that one single event.
Yeah, being a student here during that time, during that whole transition, I can definitely tell that there's been a great big deal of support and a change in the feel, like you mentioned, of, you know, not just the students and the faculty and folks on campus supporting us, but the community at large has kind of felt to really embrace that change and kind of see through now. And wow, that's been almost 10 years that we've been Augusta University. So yeah, in just that period of time, there's been so many things that support the change that that name change.
Well, and you mentioned 10 years. I mean, the true birth of this university was 2013 when the consolidation of Augusta State University and Georgia Tech Sciences really was formalized officially. And so really, we're only 10 years old as a university. And I really keep reminding myself that. And when you think of all the great things that we've done, you have to go, wow, we've done that in just 10 years. And it's been a chance for two totally different universities to come together with no preconceived notion about who we are and what we're going to become. And so I think, and much to the credit of our faculty, they have come together in really creative ways and have generated programs and degrees for us. Like, who would ever thought you'd have a degree of digital and visual storytelling? I mean, what the heck is that? but that has really opened the door for us for animation and those sort of them. That's a beautiful blend or bridge between art and science in ways that I don't think any other university in the state could do. So it's and then it has to do with that youngness of who we are, and has to do with I think the future is so incredibly exciting here.
Yeah, one thing that I really have always appreciated about the university is just that interdisciplinary action, from like you mentioned, of just seeing degree programs, but also when I first started, there was a great divide between the two different campuses.
Absolutely.
And so now sometimes I laugh when just like we have students living on the Health Sciences campus, but they also, you know, have classes on Somerville and, you know, they do things all across both campuses, which when I first started, that wasn't really the case. So seeing campus, you know, from all ends kind of grow into just really merging into one has been really cool to see, especially now that I still sometimes forget that I'm an employee, but I just feel like I'm an alumni that gets to have fun conversations like this, but yeah, it's been really interesting to see the university grow. is there anything, I guess, for the next chapter? Because we have hit 10K, but I guess for the next 10,000 students that we may want to hit 20K one day, is there anything that you would like to see the university accomplish?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And it's a little scary because, again, we have the good problem of having 10,546 students here. And again, now we have to make sure that we have all those things that they need for future growth. So we're really beginning to focus on the amenities the students need. And as I said at the outset, the faculty that we're going to have here. So we have a lot of focus on that, too, because it, by all accounts, what we see in the short-term future, in the 2 or 3 year period of time, is that our enrollment is probably going to continue to increase, even above what we currently have now. It's a great place to be, but it's something we're going to have to focus on. And what's going to happen is that enrollment's going to go up, and the students are going to look around and say, wow, there's no dining here, there's no dormitories here, I can't get into a class because they don't have faculty, and we'll start seeing a decline. So that's something that we have really got to focus on. But, you know, that's a pretty good problem to have.
I agree. Thank you, Dr. Keel, for being here. I'm super excited for the rest of this year has in store. And it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate you having me back. And we were talking earlier that this is 130-ish of these sort of things. So we're really proud of what you've done here and the impact that you're making on that. And hopefully you'll have me back when you hit that 100,000 viewers. So that'd be really cool.
That's the goal. So thank you so much. And for all y'all watching, feel free to come out and support our 10K student celebration that's happening this week and all that fun stuff. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The JAG mobile app, you can now discover and filter events that match your interests. Your tasks for success at AU will be right there in your current tasks. Finish them, and they automatically move to the completed task section. But that's not all. With the JAG mobile app, you'll receive targeted push notifications that are relevant to you. No more irrelevant alerts clogging up your phone. Stay in the know without the noise. JAG Mobile's messaging feature lets you see which events they're attending, the groups they're joining, and the conversations they're engaging in. It's the ultimate social and academic networking tool.
Welcome back, y'all, to In the Wild, and joining me for another round of Pardon Our Progress is our AVP for Campus Services, friend of the show at this point. So give a warm jaguar welcome to Dale Hartenberg.
Well, thank you, Rayshawn. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's always great to have you back. So just get us started with what's happening in your neck of the woods, because there's always many of things happening with y'all.
Certainly, and it feels like it's been a while since I've been here. It's,
yeah.
I think the last time we had a conversation was probably all the way back in spring, a semester early on, and at that time we were talking about parking deck, and we see things coming, and oh, we got changes in this and that. And as you know, as we rolled into fall, you know, some of the things that happened with student housing, just some of the way the campus responded to that, really just shifted a lot of stuff. And even for focus for my areas, for the folks in student affairs, really was a challenge, sure, for the campus, but it was a great opportunity for the university to show how flexible it is and for everybody to kind of rally around it and address all the challenges that went there. But here we are now, November. And we are staring we're really looking at closing lot one here in about 3 weeks for the start of the construction of a new parking deck. Mm-hmm. So back in August, the university system and the Board of Regents, they approved the financing plan, which was the final piece of approval needed. And so when we received that, we had to go out and had to take some financial action. We had to sell some bonds, do some other things to pay for the facility. But the general contractor will be on site December 15th, and they will start the prep work, the site work for that facility. The new parking deck has 1,350 spaces.
Oh, wow.
Okay, to put that in context, there are really only about 1,600 or 1,800 spaces on the Health Science campus, depending on which lots you include in there. Okay, so we're increasing capacity on the Health Science campus by a full 60%. It will take about 12 to 15 months to finish construction. And during that time, the students who use Lot 1 are going to be reassigned to other locations on campus. Our graduate and professional students will have a couple reserved option parkings. Our undergraduate students who use Lot 1, they'll be parking out at Lot 38. The new deck, once it's constructed, it will be open to students, faculty, staff. All right, it'll be available really because of the size of it. It'll help relieve a lot of the parking congestion and, you know, kind of that, looking for a spot, rushing around for a spot. Okay, I'm late for class. I'm going to go park in this reserve spot, you know. So hopefully a lot of those things will go away once the deck is opened. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, they'll be on site in December. And for about the first 3 or 4 months, they're really just doing prep work. Okay, they're going to clear the site, remove the existing lot, bring in some heavy equipment to put in the foundations. And then beginning about February or March, they will start bringing in what's called precast concrete pieces. So there are approximately 675 pieces to this parking deck, and they'll be assembled in place. And so over time, from March until about the end of 2024, you'll see this building be assembled right there next to Elm Hall. So for some longtime employees of Augusta University like myself, I can remember back to conversations probably in 2003, 2005 about, hey, we need a new parking deck. So here we are 20 years later, and it's exciting to see some of these things come to fruition. So I'm sure there are folks who are like, we should have had it a while ago, right? But, it will be good, and it will be very helpful for our campus.
So with that new parking deck, will some of the, gravel lots currently on on the Health Sciences campus, will those go away, or they'll still be there? Like, is there a plan for those?
Right. So right now, especially back up a little bit to the point in time where the university and WellStar separated, okay, the parking office used to kind of manage both sides of the fence for a very long time, and now we're only focused on the university. And so the lots that we maintain for university students and staff, we're going to keep those in the rotation. We don't have any plans to shut anything down or to kind of reduce the scope of parking, if you will, because we understand that, even when you put the new deck in, okay, it's going to be in a corner of campus. The way campus is configured, it's just not suitable to putting the deck. And really, when you talk about campus design and thing, you wouldn't want to put a big old ugly parking, not ugly, but you wouldn't want to put a gigantic parking deck in the middle of your campus. So we're going to keep all of our perimeter lots as well. We will still run our campus shuttle system between the campuses, right? We're not all of a sudden expecting students to be like, oh, hey, we got this big lot. You're a commuter now. No, we still want to be mindful of transit and in the most efficient way to move students and staff back and forth between campuses.
Yeah, and could you talk a little bit about transportation and transit? Because I know there's been a lot of shifts going on this semester.
Sure. And a lot of this semester's changes go directly to supporting the students who are in off-campus assigned housing. So we had to make a lot of adjustments at the beginning of the semester. Our transportation partner is working with the developer who manages, Oak Hall. And so they've worked out a number of routes that service all of the hotels and all the apartments. Those shuttles are running about 16 hours a day for those students living there to make sure they can come to campus, both to get to class as well as anytime, during our dining hours that they're open. So understanding that the shuttles were running from campus to all the hotels, we modified the blue route a little bit so that it could focus on getting students from the Health Science campus up to Somerville and then out to Forest Hills, if you will. And so those changes are in place. We have 3 weeks left on that. Once we roll into spring semester for 2024, you'll see the more traditional shuttle route where the blue route will run from Chrisenberry at our farthest west point all the way down to the Cyber Center. We did find something very successful this year as part of all the changes, and that is we switched our transit system to a time stop, meaning at 12:15, the bus is going to be at this stop. Okay,
oh,
and so
okay.
Students could look through that all day and see, okay, I know the next shuttle is supposed to be here. First one is here at 12:15, the next one's going to be here at 12:22. We found that we had a lot better satisfaction from our students just because it was, and our bus drivers even liked it because it was much more reliable for them. They could understand, hey, it's, this is my next stop. And then what the driver did is the driver didn't just leave right away. The driver would wait until the stop time and then go. So we kind of did a pilot. We sort of had to do it because of all the changes, but it was, you know, we were learning as we did it. But now that it's in place, we're excited about using it again for the spring.
Yeah, and how do you go about getting that feedback from students about what's working well, what could be improved, or just whatever ideas they have?
Yeah, so it comes in many different ways. The first way is my team and I, we actually go ride buses, okay? So, you know, I'm sitting here with my watch or my phone, and I'm saying, hey, we're supposed to have something, and I'll get on and ride and ask students questions. But that's, you know, not the most, I'm not on every shuttle, of course. I'm not here, like, you know, 8 o'clock at night when a student's looking. So the mobile app, Passio Go, actually has an instant feedback option in there that students can give us feedback. We always ask that a student include, you know, what route, the day and the time, things like that. Our software allows us to go back and check on things and understand why, you know, why was the shuttle late? I will tell you, with sending so many buses downtown for the fall, the trains and the road construction have become our two biggest nemesis to being on time. You know, it's just something, and you know, when you're a student waiting at a bus stop, you don't see the train, you know, running, you know, 3/4 of a mile away. So, you know, it's just something you're not looking for, you know, and so it helps us just explain. But yeah, feedback is how we make the service better. So in addition to that, we always just say, hey, just email us. All of our departments, you can find the departmental email through the website. And that's the best way if you don't have a mobile app access to get in touch with us.
So I feel like with your role, it really kind of keeps you on your toes all throughout the year because you're kind of getting feedback from everybody. And just with the nature of the areas you oversee, there's always kind of something going on.
There is, and sometimes it's just, you know, the cycle, right? Mm-hmm. You have busy times at the start, you have, you know, exams, you have all these things, and so you get into different pieces. Yeah, maybe this week, you know, it's a little less, you know, because we're getting here right before Thanksgiving, but it'll be right back up again as we get into finals and then back once we get into the new year.
But you also get the chance to kind of help with some cool stuff like our university gnome, our Augustus gnome.
So the gnome, yes. This cool little guy is actually at the Roar store right now. You can go get one. It's actually a project that comes out of our community outreach folks. You know, they're looking at it as how they partner with local retail and some other things. But we do have a limited run that's currently on sale at the Roar store. Sorry, we don't have one here today for you. Maybe you can throw in some feed with the image, but it is an Augustus gnome, and they're available. If we do sell out, we'll look at getting some more. But right now, they are for a limited run here at the university.
Yeah, I got one, and I was super excited because I got to see what it looked like well in advance. I was just like, any day now, so I was able to snag one at the Bruin queue. I was one of the first ones, and I was super excited. And I noticed that they're numbered, too, which was really cool. So everyone that gets one, you kind of know how limited they are because you get to see one out of whatever batch
right. It
was, which is really cool.
It is. But in addition to, you know, having the gnome at the Roar store, there's been quite a few changes with the Roar store. You know, in the old days, you and I probably know it as the campus bookstore, mm-hmm. right? But I go look, you know, if you were to walk in the store, you're not going to find a single textbook. So we're partnered with a company called Textbook Brokers, and we do all of our books, textbook ordering online. So being, you know, mid-November now, students are able to go in and they're actually able to order for spring semester. They can use their spring financial aid to pay for their books, and they will be shipped to campus and here when you come back in the spring. We also did a sort of like a little test in the fall for a new program called Inclusive Access. And this is a program that's really kind of the next step when you talk about how textbook publishers are approaching providing materials to students. And so what this does is now when you register, say, for college algebra, your entire homework platform is available for you on the first day inside of D2L. And so students just log in, and it's there. You don't have to worry about, oh, do I got to go get an access code? Do I have to find this? It's just ready and waiting. Now, it's a textbook, right? So there's still a cost involved, but there's a well-discounted cost that is now included as part of your tuition and fees rather than being an extra fee that you have to go pay cash out of your pocket for.
I think that's going to be game-changing because as a current grad student, still having to buy textbooks or rent textbooks, having it right in the software, in the platform, makes everything more convenient because you don't have to worry about having a separate device or clicking through all these extra tabs. It's kind of all in one house. So that sounds like a great idea.
And I'm very thankful to the folks in the faculty in the College of Science and Math who kind of helped us pilot this fall. We dealt with a great group of faculty in math and again in biology, and they helped us kind of learn. They learned along with me, you know, because it was very new in terms of an entire industry. And so my appreciation to them for helping us, you know, get a solution that works, one, well for our students, but two, in the end, it also saves them money over the traditional way of buying textbooks.
So how will students know that their textbook is available in that system?
So there's a couple different ways. The first is when you register for a class, there'll be a little note in the course that you're taking. It'll say textbooks provided inside of D2L. Okay. Students always have the ability to opt out, meaning say I bought the access code for the, you know, like for biology 1107, that book is also used for 1108. So you can opt out of having to buy the book or pay the fee a second time because you already have it. So like I said, that comes when you register. Then when you get closer to the start of the semester, there'll be a series of emails that students receive saying, hey, we see that you're registered for this biology course. Your course materials are included. Just log into D2L to get access to them.
I think that's going to be awesome. Are there any other, I guess, future developments that you're really excited about for 2024? It's crazy to think that we're gearing up to be in
it. It is. Some of the things we're looking at, we've got some projects where we continue to make upgrades around campus dining. We are currently working through a project with our campus library to understand how to best use, there's a small space in the front of that building, how to best use that potentially as a future campus dining outlet. Right now we're working with a number of folks just looking through the different options to see what's a possibility. And so hopefully that's something we can come back with for 2024 to add to the dining to student experience, you know, as it relates around how students can eat on the Augusta University campus.
And kind of going back to apps and feedback, is there a way for students to provide feedback for campus dining?
A couple different ways. So campus dining is provided by our partner Sodexo, and so they have what's called the Everyday app. And you can use that to see menus, to see hours. Okay, so they provide the instant feedback in there. And the other way is just directly to the university. You can email student dining, one word, studentdining@augusta.edu. And my team gets those and reviews them, you know, and addresses them. Sometimes it's a, hey, I want to add a meal plan, okay? Or, hey, this, you know, something was off the other day, you know, with the meal I got. Those kind of things we take any type of feedback there. We also take positive feedback, right? We get good stories of the staff at Sodexo who are helping students out. We always like to pass that on as well.
So yeah, any other, I guess, like things for 2024 that got you excited?
Oh, Rayshon, you know that you know, you and I are having a conversation today, and you know, by January 1, you know, things could change, mm-hmm. You know, so. Just know we're always working on something. It's just that, you know, sometimes the details aren't very clear. And so we hope to have, you know, let me back up. We want to provide the best service we can across the platform of dining, parking, and transportation, and textbooks and retail options for our students. And so just know technology may change between now and January 1, and we may look at something new and say, yeah, this would be great for our institution. It's just right now, we're working towards always making it better.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm sure the students on campus, they get to partake in all the things that you do because I feel like you kind of touch all parts of campus.
Yeah,
I'm sure they appreciate it too. So thanks once again for being here. I'm super excited to see the construction and the progress of the parking deck personally because been waiting for that for quite some time, and it's been in the talks for quite some time, so I think that's going to be really cool to see.
Yeah, one last thing, and it just, you know, you mentioned it, but we partner a lot with other places around campus, and the Roar store especially will be on site for a lot of basketball in the spring.
Oh, nice.
So when there are men's and women's home games, you can stop by, you know, Christenberry, one, to root on our student athletes, but two, you can pick up gear there. You can always order it online, but if you want something in person, you'll be able to go to a game and stop by and see the team there.
I need to re-up on some merch. It's been a minute for me.
All right, well, we'll see what we can do.
But yeah, thanks, Dale, for being here, and thanks all of y'all for watching, listening, and we'll see y'all next time.